Imagine if you were one of his disciples that day. It's AD 33. Jesus has walked among the people. He's fed them. He's loved them. He's cared for them. He's healed them. And just this week, he enters Jerusalem to the cheers of thousands. But a few days ago, cheers turned to jeers. And the crowds call out, "Crucify him." We thought, imagine if you were a disciple. We thought he was the Messiah. We've given up so much. We've walked with him. We didn't always understand what he wanted. I got to be the first to admit it. We just didn't get him all the time, but we were his disciples and followers. They captured him. They tortured him. They beat him. And then they impaled him with Roman cruelty upon a cross. And we couldn't even recognize him. Then, it was the time of the evening sacrifice when the Paschal Lamb was slain in Israel. And right then is when they took Jesus to Golgotha. And they crucified him, and he died. And it was awful. But by the way, did you hear what they did and what happened to the temple? It was incredible. There was a torn veil. Maybe you've heard something about it. The Bible says the skies were darkened, and that began at the sixth hour, and it went until the ninth hour, by the way. But at the very moment the high priest Caiaphas, dressed in full priestly garments, begins his procession, he would enter the temple courts, and they would begin to slaughter the Passover lamb. And a ton of lambs were killed that day in those hours where it was dark. Every family had a lamb, unless the household was too small, and then they could share it with their neighbor. But this was a supernatural, thick darkness, and lasted until the ninth hour, about the time when the Passover lamb's sacrifice was coming to an end. And right then, right at that moment, our Lord Jesus on a cross, we can't recognize him, but we can hear the words as he cries out, and he says, "It is finished." And he died. And the book of Matthew says some astounding words, Matthew 27, 51 through 54. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom." From the what to the what? From the top to the bottom. "And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." And you should have heard the stories about that. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were afraid. They feared greatly. And they said, please say it with me, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The word "behold" in the King James and in these verses says, it's a Greek word, "iduo." Can you say it with me? "Iduo." And it means intense feeling and emotion. Today's best word would be wow. Shock and awe. Amazement, wonder. And get a load of what's next. Two veils were inside the temple. One at the entrance to what's called the holy place where the priests would minister. And then one massive veil in front of the holy of holy places. Or in the holy of holy place. And only the high priest could go in there once a year to make atonement right at this time of year. To sprinkle blood so our sins would be covered over. Now this veil is literally, according to history and historians, was 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, an entire hand breadth in thickness, which is probably 3 or 4 inches thick. An early Jewish writing stated that this veil was in front of the Holy of Holies was so heavy, it took 300 priests to move or manipulate it. It was absolutely impossible for man, and it took God to split it. And at the exact moment when Jesus says it is finished and breathing his last on the cross at Golgotha, Caiaphas was standing at his station at the inner court of the temple, finishing the sacrifice of the Paschal Lamb. Jesus declares, it's finished, and there is a rumble that begins to take place. Jesus is a couple of miles away or a mile outside the city, and all of a sudden, God moves supernaturally, and there's an earthquake, and there's rocks that split open, and this massive veil begins to tear from the top to the bottom. And it wasn't God's idea, or it wasn't man's idea and man's effort that tore it. How many understand you can never tear your way to God by all of your good works? It took God coming from the top to the bottom where we are. Anybody in this room ever felt like you're on the bottom? Every one of us on the bottom. But God tears from the heavenlies right down to where you are and where I am this morning. Massive, massive things. The invisible hands of God opened the way for you and for me to come straight into Father's house, straight in to His presence. The blood of Jesus shed for you and for me. What happened? The earthquake. In the Bible, it says the earth was rent. And it means that the rocks split. And literally, the Greek word is sagso. And it means to shake and to agitate, to create a motion. How many have ever heard of the word seismograph? Seismograph, which registers the intensity of the earthquakes. Origen, an early church father, says there were great earthquakes at the time of his crucifixion. Even creation recognizes God, the Creator, and obeys Him. He lives. Come on, say it with me. He lives. The scripture says in Mark 16, and I'll read all the way through verse 8, 1 through 8. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint Him very early in the morning. On the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? This massive stone was probably 2 tons in weight. It was a huge stone carved out, and there was a channel in the rocks by which it would move. Who's gonna move that stone? These ladies are so passionate in their love for God and their love for Jesus. It doesn't occur to them until they're on the way to the tomb. Hey, wait a minute. Who's gonna move this thing? What are we gonna do? Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that God took care of it, didn't He? God took care of it through an earthquake and saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Would you be? They were alarmed. But He said, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is what?
Risen.
He is, say it again, risen. One more time. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid Him, and I love verse 7. But go, tell His disciples, and I want you to boom out the next two words. And Peter, one more time. And Peter. Do you think Peter needed a little special reminding of the love of God after denying His Lord? Have you ever denied Him? So put your own name as we say it again. And Kevin. That He is going before you into Galilee. There you'll see Him as He said to you. So they went out quickly. They fled from the tomb. For they trembled and they were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is like a track meet. They tear out. They split out. They're scared to death. But what a message they've been given. Peter and John run to the tomb where His body has been placed after they hear about this, and He isn't there. Two others are walking along the road and say they'd seen Him too. And their hearts burned inside of them as He spoke with them from the Scriptures all about what he went through. And then, verses 14 through 18, later, he appears to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many know God's still alive and well moving today? He's alive! And he loves me. Say it with me. He's alive and he loves me. Back to the disciple. You know, there are a few things he said on the cross that keep going and over and over in my mind. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And he was talking about us and about those who had just spit upon him and beaten him. Gambled for his clothes, nailed him to a cross. Forgive them. The reason we're alive and are able to be here this morning is because of the forgiveness of God. And then he said, it is finished. What's finished? The crucifixion? His life? What's finished, Jesus? John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it's finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. And I want to tell you about a word. One of the most powerful words ever spoken in all of history. And it's a Greek word. It goes like this. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Say it with me. Tetelestai. Say it again. Tetelestai. It's derived from the Greek word telos, which means a goal achieved, something consummated, a result attained. And it means to bring something to successful end, to its intended goal or destiny. It doesn't mean to complete a task, but it means to carry it out fully, to bring it to the finish, to perfection. Its finality is all wrapped up in the word. Say it with me again. Tetelestai. And with the finality is, it is finished, it stands finished, and it will always be finished. Tetelestai. Now, if you understand your language, tetelestai is in the perfect tense, which describes a past completed act with present effect. And it means the past completed event of Jesus' death on the cross has ongoing permanent effects and will last for all of eternity. Somebody say, thank God. Now, twice, we read in the Bible twice, one in each testament, where God is fully satisfied. After creation, he says, oh, it's very good. And in the New Testament, upon a cross, Jesus says, Tetelestai, it is finished. It's finished. That word was used in a multiplicity of ways. Servants would use the word tetelestai when they reported into their master. I have completed, tetelestai, what you've given me as work to do. And there's an ancient Greek text that they found in which a father sent his son out on a mission to do something. And he said to his son, don't come back until it's all done. And the son comes back to him and says, say it with me, tetelestai, all done, Dad. The priests, number two, would examine the animals for blemishes before they were sacrificed. And if it was a faultless, spotless lamb that was acceptable, the priest would say, tetelestai. Number three, artists would use the word. There are stories in antiquity that say that when the painter or the sculptor would finally put his last finishing touches on the vivid landscape or the marble bust, he would stand back a few feet, admire the accomplishment, and would mutter, tetelestai. Say it with me. Tetelestai. Then there were merchants. In ancient times, when you submitted a promissory note that you would be paying for something, the payment was not, and a deed was not in effect until the final payment was made. The one holding the note would have written across it, "Tetelestai." A deed of the property was not in effect, dated and signed until the clerk wrote "Tetelestai" across the deed. "Tetelestai" on the certificate of debt signified that it was paid in full. Say it with me. Paid in full. "Tetelestai." There was a story told of a few years ago when they were doing a dig, an archaeology dig in Egypt, and they uncovered the office of an ancient CPA, and you thought we only had them around here today. And you know what they found in this ancient room office? A stack of bills across which would have been written for each one of them the word "Tetelestai." Paid in full. Prisoners. When a Roman citizen was convicted of a crime, was nailed to, it was written down on a piece of script and nailed next to the cell door, outlining all of the charges against him for which he'd been convicted. It was a certificate of debt. And when the prisoner had served his sentence, was released from bondage, that indictment, that parchment was taken down from the door, and the judge who'd put him in the cell wrote across it, "Tetelestai," sentence served. The freed prisoner was given that parchment. So if anybody stopped him, tried to give him a bad time for his crime, he could raise up his paper and say, "Tetelestai, my sentence is served." And then there were conquering generals. They would parade those that they had conquered either in front of them or behind them, and people would shout out, "Tetelestai! Tetelestai!" Meaning, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Paid in full. Debt is paid. Mission accomplished. The enemy is defeated. Sins are destroyed. I have given you new life, new forgiveness, mercy and grace. The heart of God is expressed because I took your place, is what Jesus said. Jesus cries out from a cross, and he looks down the corridor of time, and he sees you, and he sees me, and he says, "Lord, I love them. It's finished." He died, was buried, and he rose again, thank God. Come on, say it with me. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. He is risen. Why? Because he'd rather die than let you go. He'd rather rise again and have you with him forever. What's the conclusion to all of this? Please say it with me. I'm going to give it to you in two versions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Watch it out of the message. Say it with me. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. So how did the disciples respond? So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, if you could raise it up, please, Pat. Thank you so much. You're doing great. He was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. May I urge you this morning, if you have not yet done so, give Jesus your past. Every sin that creates shame as you recall and you alone know, in your heart of hearts, what it might be. Give him your past. Give Jesus your present. You alone, in your heart of hearts, know what is it that puts a wall between God and me. The Bible says your sins have separated you from God. But the Bible declares that even while we were yet enemies, this Lord died for us. He died, was buried, and He rose again. Give Him your past. Give Him your present. And give Him your future. Because this God said to Telestai, I've got it covered. And when you die, and each one of us will, I kid you not, at some point, do you know exactly where you're going? You say, Pastor Kev, how can you know exactly? You can know if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Because He sat or He laid and was impaled upon a cross and spoke forgiveness to those who receive Him. They buried Him. They put Him in a tomb. But the best proof that all of this is true, it's historical fact, He rose again. The Bible tells us now, He even lives and ever lives to pray for you and me. Come on, you look at me and go, I don't deserve it. No way, me neither. And that's why there's good news. It's not based on what we do. It's based on what He's done. Come on, it's not based on what we do. It's based on what He's done. Isn't He good? Now I want to encourage you, if you have not done so, it takes a simple prayer. Say it with me right here in this room, church. Bow your head, every eye closed, every head bow. Lord Jesus, today I understand that You are the only Savior. I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong, Lord. I ask You right now to forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean by Your blood. I surrender my life to You. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And right now by faith, I receive Your forgiveness. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. I'm washed clean. I'm forgiven. To Telestai. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank You, Lord, in
Jesus' name. Jesus, what a great Lord. What a great Messiah. We're going to close and play a song for you. And I invite you, if you're a guest with us this morning, we'll be right here again next Sunday, 10 o'clock. We'll share with you some more about this fantastic Jesus, what He's done and what He continues to do for you and for me. Because it's all because He loves you so much. Jesus, Messiah.
Thank you.
blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Musicians, will you come on up? Isn't he worthy of our praise? Yes. What a great day. What a glorious day we've got here. But what a glorious day we get every day because he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Jesus Messiah. Are you glad this morning?
Yes.
Come on, church. Happy Easter.
Happy
Turn to each other. Say, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
God is good. Would you stand with me, please, as we close? If you're here this morning, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, as we say, you prayed with us this morning, you want to talk about it for a minute, come on up, we'll pray. If you need healing in your body, we'll pray for you. We'll be back here next Sunday morning. God loves people more than anything is where we're going to close, guys. Key of G, God loves people. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray that as we go out from this place today, we'll go out with joy and rejoicing because of how great you are, how much you love people, and we're so thankful. You'd rather die. Then let us go. Lord, we pray that we will bless you and all that we say to our thank even as we leave this place. Because it's all about good news. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
God loves people more than anything. Oh, God loves people more than anything. More than anything he wants you to know, he'd rather die than let you go. God loves people more than anything. Oh my God loves people more than anything. Oh God loves people more than anything. More than anything. He'd rather die than let you go. God loves people more than anything. Now we're going to dismiss and we have refreshments in the back of the room. We have cake. Let them eat cake. So we are going to have cake and cookies and take some time to rejoice with the good news of what Jesus has done and celebrate with each other. And be sure to tell each other you look really hot today. You really do, yeah? Anyway, let's sing it again, and God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. God loves people more than anything. Oh, God loves people more than anything. More than anything he wants you to know. He'd rather die than let you go. God loves people more. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week in the Lord.